Okay. All right, good morning, everyone. Yes, got it. Okay. I'm sorry, let me move this over here to make this more visible for me. Okay. All right, good morning, everyone. We are continuing now with the next Mishnah. We got last week with Rav Yehuda, we got to the next Mishnah. And as I said in the email that I sent out, my initial thoughts were that we were going to sort of jump right to the end of this Gemara, which talks about the types of birds that you don't have to distance from because there's not really a problem of you stealing them, which we're going to get to in source number one in a minute. But I realized that we were in the Beit Midrash, we were spending so much time on the first half of the Mishnah and the Gemara that I felt that it was appropriate to spend some time, even if it's not necessarily going to talk specifically about Hilchot Shechinim, and it's going to be more about understanding the flight of birds and how they eat and when they eat and etc. I still think we had some really interesting conversations that made me Josh, so I thought that it would make sense for us to continue and focus on that. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Marchin et Hashovach min Ha'ir and Talmudic ornithology. Right? The Gemara is going to spend a lot of time talking about how these birds fly and eat and our requirement to distance and all of that stuff. So we'll jump right in with source number one. This is the Mishnah. Marchikin et ha-shovach min ha'ir chamishim ama, v'lo yaseh adam shovach betoch shelo, ele'im ken yesh lo chamishim ama l'chol ruach. So you've got to make sure that when you put your shovach, your dovecote, you set it up, you have to make sure that you distance 50 amot from the ear. V'lo yaseh adam shovach betoch shelo, and you also can't put a dovecote in your own property, ele'im ken yesh lo chamishim ama l'chol ruach, unless you make sure that you have a radius of chamishim ama, which is the same shear that we just said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Beit Arbat Korin, Malet Shagar Hayona. Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be Beit Arbat Korin, which is much larger than the Chamishim Amma that the Tanakh, that the Chachamim, we'll call them Chachamim because that's the way all the Rishonim refer to the first opinion as Chachamim. All the Rishonim that I saw referred to him as Chachamim. So we'll say the Tanakhama, a.k.a. Chachamim, said 50. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying Beit Arbat Korin, which I give you in the footnote. Number one, Rambam puts that at 273 and change amot. So I put a little table there also, so you can see relative sizes. I had Ander and Natan check the math on that. I think it's all correct. So 50 amma, and Rabbi Yehuda says the distance is approximately 273 amot. And then the Mishnah continues, Vimla kacho, afilu beit rova harehi hu bechazkato. We're not going to talk on this last line. I believe in 2 weeks, Rabbi Torchiner is going to focus more on this idea. But this is the effect that if I bought the shovach as is, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about, oh, maybe it wasn't built to code. It wasn't built with the right distancing. The rule is, arehu b'chazgato, I don't have to worry about it. That we'll discuss in the future. But on the first half of this, which is this machloket, chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, chamishim ama v'tulo. So what do you mean? You're saying that it only flies 50 ama and no more than that? Ramini ain't porcin nishbin leonim elim kanaya rachok mina yishuv shloshim ris. We say that you can't set up your trap to trap these birds unless you have a distance of shloshim ris, which is 8,000 amot. So you're really telling me 50 amot you have to distance. These doves will fly a distance of 8,000 amot. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says the following. He says, Mishat shaiti tuva ukrasayu bechamishim amta malya. He says, Abaye says, no, okay, yes. That's true. They will fly a distance of 8,000 amot, and therefore you have to be concerned about trapping a bird at 8,000 amot, because if you say set a trap at amah 7,000, you might end up trapping a bird that doesn't belong to you, and that's a problem. But you don't have to be concerned about it eating anything, because it's only going to eat up to 50 amot's worth. That's what Abaye says. Chamishim amta malya. Kraseyu b'chamishim amta malya. His stomach is going to be full at 50. So you don't have to be concerned about him eating anything beyond 50 amot. And then the Gemara continues, Mishad shloshim ris v'tulo. You're saying that 30 ris is the maximum limit. 8,000 amot is how it's far it's going to go. Ve'atanya, we have a bright. This is actually the same statement. This the seifa of the idea that we just had in this bright. Ve'atanya, B'yishuv afilu mea mil lo yifros. You can't throw your not 8,000 amma, but it's 100 mil. That's 200,000 amot. What are you saying? 8,000 amot. It's 200,000 amot. That's as far as this bird's gonna fly. So what are you telling me? Such a small shear. And the Gemara says, okay. So here we have two options. Rav Yosef Amar B'yishuv kramim. And I didn't include Rashi here, but I'll say Rashi outside. I apologize. Rashi explains Yishuv Kramim is that you have these vineyards, and the bird's going to just walk along the vineyard. And so it might not fly that far, but if there's vineyards, if there's something there in the middle, it can get much further. That's what he says. Yishuv Kramim. Yishuv Kramim. For Rava Amar, Yishuv Shovachin. And Rava says something similar, but slightly different. He says that there's shovachs, and so there are little, you know, stations along the way that he can fly to, and because there are shovachs there, that means there are also other birds that are flying, that live there in those shovachs. If that's the case, that there are birds living in these shovachs over there, so the Gemara says, v'tipuklei mishum shovachin gufehu. So then what are you telling me I should distance from the ear at this point? I have to distance, if there are shovachin here, and there are birds that live in these shovachs, and those birds aren't mine, so then I should have to distance from those birds. What are you telling me to distance from the city? I should have to distance from the shovachin themselves, regardless of the city. And I really regret that I didn't put Rashi here on the page, but Rashi here points out that even without any birds in the city, the point the Gemara is saying, typically mishum shovachin gufehu, that I should have to distance from the shovachin themselves because there are birds that live there, and I should distance from them regardless of anything happening in the city. Because there are birds that live in the shovachs, as opposed to what the kerem is, where there are no birds that live there. All the birds are just coming from the city. So the Gemara gives three options why I do not have to be concerned about the birds that live in the shovachs that are outside of the city. That the only reason I have to distance is because of the birds of the city, but not because of any of the birds that are flying around over here. And he gives three options. Ibayde emedide, maybe they're actually mine, so I don't have to be concerned about stealing these birds, because they're my own birds. The only birds that I have to worry about are the city's birds, because those aren't mine. Ibayde ema dikanani, or they're owned by a non-Jew, and this we're going to discuss next week. If you buy Ema to Hefker, or alternatively, they're ownerless. In all three of these instances, I don't have to worry about if I accidentally trap one of these birds. That's not going to be a problem. The only thing I have to worry about is the birds coming from the city and getting all the way over here. Those are the birds I have to be concerned about, and that's where that Gemara ends. Okay, so looking at this, and again, you have a little table there on the side with the numbers there. Even if you can sort of see that you have Chachamim start with 50 amah, but by the end of the Braita, we got to 200,000 amot, so we see that there's really a... We're talking about great differences as far as the distance is here. So when looking at this mission of this Gemara, I noticed for myself breaking it down into four different chunks here. And I initially would call them machlokot that are going on, but it's not really, because the first one's not really a machlokot. The first one's a stira, but we have different numbers going on. And that's what I want to focus today on, are these four different things, four different measurements that are at play in this mission, this Gemara. The first is Aleph and Bet, right? Marchikinet ha-shovach min ha'ir 50 mama. And then we say, lo yaseh adam shovach patoch sholo, el imken yesh lo 50 mama. Presumably, this is the same number. Why do we need both of these? If the number is 50, you can only teach one. That's one thing, that it seems to be repetitive and unnecessary. The next three are contradictions, disagreements, right? Gimel and Dalet, Chachamim say the shear that you have to distance is 50, and Rabbi Yehuda says the shear is 273. Those are different numbers. Where do they get these two different numbers from? Then Hey and Vav, between the Mishnah and the Braita, the Resha really of the Braita, that the Mishnah had said either we're dealing with 50 or with Beit Dalet Korim, which is 273. And yet the Braita brings in Shloshim Ris. And then the last Zayin and Chet is the Resha of the Braita versus the Seif of the Braita, that the Resha of the Braita gives a number of Shloshim Ris. And the Seif of the Braitas is Afilu Mea Mil. And what we're going to do over the next shir is looking at each of these, Aleph and Bet together, Gimel and Dalet together, Hey and Vav together, and Zayin and Chet together. So starting with Aleph and Bet together, and again, Aleph and Bet, the thing is that there are two lines in the Mishnah, and they seem to be giving no new information. Aleph and Bet are both the same. Chamishim Amah, you have to distance Chamishim Amah, your Shovach. So this already Tosfot in source number 2. This is a question that Tosfot raises. I'll just say that everyone's clear the road plan, the map that we've got here. Okay. All right. So Tosfot already raises this question. Is it Veloya Seshavach Toch Shelo? Barachuk Mina Ir, Ben Hasado. Okay. Distance from the city among the fields. And we have to have both of these. We have to have both the Reisha and the Seifa of Chachamim, the Marchikin Shovach Mina Ir, and we need the Lo Yaseh Adam Shovach Betoch Shelo. We need both of those. Why don't we need both of them? So he says, Di Tana Reisha LaHarchik Min HaIr Hatam Davka Marchik Mipnei SheTivuot HaIr Megulot Hen BeChatzer Megulot Hen BeChatzer Hen BeGag. So look, if you're dealing with the city, you've got all the tvua, you've got all the plants and seeds, whatever it has, and people take it and they put it on their roofs, and so it's going to be fully exposed, and so you have to be really concerned that a bird's going to come and grab it. But if you're dealing with all the tvua Hanizra BeSadeh UMechosa Ain't Zarich LaHarchik. But in the Seifa, I don't have to be concerned about it. I'm not in the city anymore. It could be that the seeds are, you know, underground. It's stored, covered over. I don't have to be concerned. V'iyatana seifa. And if you have the seifa, mishum de besadot shchicha tvua. Aval be'ir lo shchiach kulehai emalo. And alternatively, if you only have the seifa, you might think, well, in the fields, look, field produce naturally grows in the fields. It doesn't naturally grow in the city, so maybe I should be more concerned about this sada than I have to do in the city. And therefore, Tosfot says, we need both. We need both situations, because if you only had one, you wouldn't necessarily be able to extrapolate from the other. So even though it looks like it's unnecessary, it really is necessary, because they're really dealing with two different realities. The Ritva says something very similar, but he adds another piece to it. Ritva in source number 3. Matznitin marchikin de teshovach v'chuli, v'tshuvayu itztrichu, we need both of them, shelo tomar, davka min ha'ir. You shouldn't say that it's just from the city. Shehem nizka derabim. Maybe you would think that the city is on a different level, because that's nizka derabim. V'gam sheperet omdin begagot, be'ein. Ma she'ein ken besedot, shehem diachidim. Those are belong to individuals. V'azrim tachat akarka. So again, Ritva is saying the same two differences that Tosfot had said, but he's adding additional piece, which is that the city is an element of Nezek of the Rabim. And so you might think that there's a difference between the treatment that we have, the concern that we have to protect the Rabim, versus the concern that we have to protect the Yachid. And so that's why the Yachid is there also, the Seif is there also, to emphasize that we also have to be concerned about the Yachid. And this is just, I think, relevant and helpful, A, because we're talking about Shechenim, but, and B, the Meiri in source number 4, I think he would say that this point of the Ritva is actually the most important point here. Because the Meiri in source number 4 says, the Beit Arba Korin Kamalo Shagar Hayonav, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan Lo Peligi B'Shagar Hayonav, Kamahave. They don't really disagree, and we're going to talk about in the next section. Oh, I'm reading the wrong one, that's why. Dalet, source 4. Beit HaBechira Le Meiri, HaMishnah HaRevit, V'Kavanah Lehadchil Ba B'Bir HaChelak HaShini. He says, this now we're starting the second section of this parak. The Meiri is basically saying, this Mishnah that we're having right here is now to usher us into a new section, and this is going to be the case for the future Mishnah that we're going to see. We're no longer going to be talking about Shachin against Shachin. I'm doing something in my field, what about it's going to impact you? It's not like, you know, Bor and Kotel. Now we're dealing with Yachid and Rabim, so I think What the Meiri, I think, is taking the Ritva's point about Rabim here, and I think he's sort of putting it in center stage and saying, this is actually the most important part of this Mishnah, is to emphasize, because we're now transitioning from one-on-one to being one doing something that's going to impact the Rabim. And so I think the Meiri and the Ritva are really on the same page here. If anything, the Meiri is sort of championing what the Ritva had said and saying, like, this is actually what this Mishnah is really all about. So that's an answer to the first piece that we've seen about marchikin et hashovach min ha'ir chamishim ama. That seems to be the same as line bet, which was also chamishim ama. So Tosfot and the Ritva are both going to say, yeah, they do look the same, but that's the point, because you might not think to have that it's the same halacha for both of them. You might think that the halacha would be different, so it's saying explicitly for both of them, so the halacha is chamishim ama with both of them. That's the first section. We're good? Looking on the screen? Okay. Gimel versus Dalet, right? We have this machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim had said you have to distance Chamishim Ama. Rabbi Yehuda had said you have to distance Arba Beit Arba Korin, which we Rambam, again, in footnote number one, puts at a distance of 273 amot. Very different numbers. So what's the basis, what's the yesod ha-machloket here? What are they really arguing about? So Tosfot in source number five says the following. This is Beit Arba Korin Kamala Shagar Hayona, V'Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbanan Lo Pligi B'Shagar Hayona Kamahave. The machloket here, don't make the mistake of thinking that the machloket here is a machloket about mitziyut, of how far the birds are going to fly. They know, they agree, that the average distance of the bird is going to be whatever distance it's going to be, the longer distance. Demodu Rabbanan, debate Arba Korin, have Shagar Hayona. They agree, 273 is the distance that the bird's going to fly, no question. Ella Rabbanan Savri Kevan Deba Hamishim Ama Malia Krasehu, Kdamrina de Gemara, Tulo Mazki Tve. Rabbanan say, look, we agree, I concede, they're only gonna fly that distance. That's the max distance they're gonna fly. But I don't have to be concerned about them eating anything at that distance, because they're only gonna eat up to 50 amot. So yes, they'll fly a great distance of 273, but they're only gonna eat up to 50, so that's all you need to worry about. But they agree about the distance that the bird will fly. It's only a matter of the damage they're going to cause. They're going to eat up to 50. Kids are being a big Gemara. Exactly what the Gemara is going to say. Tula mazki tfei. Rabbi Yehuda savar de kemalesha gar mazki. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the entire 273 amot, wherever they are, they're going to cause problems. It doesn't matter. They're eating, they're not eating. They're going to cause damage up to 273, and therefore you have to distance that much. But so it seems the question is, where's the damage going to end? According to Tosfot, according to Chachamim, damage will end at the 50 Amma mark. For Rabbi Yehuda, damage can keep on going until the bird finally reaches its destination, which is going to be 273 Amot. That's the way Tosfot sees this question. The Rashba, in source number 6, onto the second page, says similarly, but also different. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Arbat Korin, Kemale Shagar Hayona, Mashma de Lopaligi Rabbanan Ale de Rabbi Yehuda, Beshur Shagar Hayona. Right, its implication here is that they both agree, Male Shagar Hayona, that that's the distance that it's going to fly, because Rabbi Yehuda just says, you have to distance the entire span that they're going to fly, meaning we agree how far they fly, you have to distance that length. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Ella de Rabbanan Savri, de Bechamishim Ama Malya Krasehu, that they're going to fill up their stomachs at 50 amat. Mihu mishat shaiti tuva. They're going to fly further. Rabbi Yehuda savar de krasehu nami lomalia ela b'maleshigar hayona. Rabbi Yehuda says they're actually going to not stop eating. They're going to eat 50 amot and they're going to keep on going. They actually will fill up their bodies maleshigar hayona. They will eat the entire distance along the way. So it's not just that it stops at 50. They'll go the whole way. And so you have the distance the whole way. And the question really, according to them, is how much will the Yonah eat? According to Chachamim, the Yonah will only eat 50 amot's worth, and then it'll keep on flying, but it doesn't want to fill up any eat anything more. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, he's going to keep on eating that entire distance that he flies, that he'll continue eating. And so you have to distance that much. And the Rashba here says, V'chen katruat betosvot, that's really what the Tosvot says. So I just, that's not what Tosfot had said, right? Tosfot had said that the question was about, are they going to, they'll stop damaging, they agree that he's going to stop eating, but will there be more damage? So that's not what Tosfot had said. So the Masada Rav Kook in source footnote number 2 just has a little piece here, Kavanato le Tosfot Sheyu Lefanav. V'ke'enze gam betosfot shelefaneinu. So it must have been that this is what the Tosfot he had in front of him, and we have something similar. I don't know why that P is. I must have typed that. Afal P Ken. Yeah, that's the P and the P are in the same place. Okay. Afal P Ken. Darkan Lazik Ad Kemalet Shigar Hayona. So if you're just pointing out that it's nice that the Rashba says this is what Tosfot had said. It's not quite what Tosfot had said, but the footnote here suggests that that's actually, it must be that that's the Tosfot that he had in front of him. Okay.
Who was the footnote?
The Mosada Rav Kook. I'm not sure who wrote it. But somehow he put a P in there. It's very strange. No, that would be me. I take full credit.
It could be that the Rashba is saying, like Tosfot, meaning that there's Tosafot says that they're not in machlokas whether can we go. I think the shugad might go far. Can go far, but he holds he can still damage even after it is full. Maybe he can damage even after 50 because he's not full.
All right, so just for those who didn't hear, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda is just pointing out that maybe it's not actually different because the Tosfot had said that they're going to fly. Well, I don't know. Tosfot says the Kevan de b'chashima ma malia krasayuk termina b'gemara tulo mazki tve. The Rabbanan say that it's going to be full and it's not going to cause any more damage. Rabbi Yehuda savor. That it's going to damage the whole distance, and maybe he's not full, and so he's going to continue damaging.
Yeah.
So okay, it could be. I hear you. Right, it could be that's, and that would then fit with what the Rosh Hashanah Chinkat Fuah Tos wrote. I just the only reason that I don't agree with that is because Kevan de b'chashima malia krasehu. It seems that everyone agrees. Yeah.
Maybe they aren't focused whether he's full or not.
Okay, I hear. It could be that they disagree about whether he's full or not. But then I would have loved Tosfot to then have said Desavar Rabbi Yehuda Savar Kamalo Shagar Achli. Like it would be Mazki is not the same as Achli, but I hear. It could be. That's the nature of the Nezek. Well, we'll see actually. Maybe we'll come back to what. Not maybe. We will come back to the nature of the nezek at the very end. So we can tie this back into the Rashba. I'm not sure. We'll see. Okay, but that's Tosfot and the Rashba, which we could put in the same camp. Maybe literally they're in the same tent in the camp, or maybe they're in the same camp but just different tents. Machloket Rav Yehuda and the footnote. Okay, but the Ritva in source number 7 is going to take this in a different direction entirely. The Ritva in source number 7 here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beit Arbat Korin Kamalashagar Hayonim Perish De'aliba de we're on source number 7 Perish De'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda Hu Shagar Hayonim Beit Arbat Korim that's the distance that the dove will fly Vilu Rabbanan Ein Ze Shagar Yonim De'ilu Le'achila Chamishim Ama V'tulo they're only for eating they're going to go 50 amot. But when it comes to flight, Chachamim don't say they'll stop there. The Ritva says no. The Chachamim say that the flight actually will be much further. It's not a. It's whoa, oh. The machloket between the two is not at all about. They don't agree at all, right? This machloket about the Shloshim Ris. Is actually very much is consistent with the position of Chachamim, and so the Ritva instead of saying everyone agrees they all agree the max distance that the bird's going to fly, then the question is where's the damage going to end? The Ritva says no, actually the question is also about how far the bird's going to fly, and that's the basis of their machloket that Rabbi Yehuda thinks they're going to stop at Beit Arba Korin. That's Shagar Hayonim. But Rabbanan say, no, Achilo, they stop earlier, but when it comes to flight, they'll go up to Shloshim Ris. So it's a totally different understanding. Yeah. So I think you're asking, how do we rectify lines hey and lines vav? Line hey and line vav?
No, how would you answer the Ritva's problem on the Tosfos and Rashba?
We'll see. I don't know. Is your say your question again? Why is your question not the contradiction between what Chachamim say, the Chamishim Ama and Shloshim Ris? Is that not what you're asking? Yeah.
Which is about 273 amos.
Yeah.
In the Gemara, even in the say that their maximum flight distance is which is way more than that.
Right. So, yeah. That. Yeah. I think you are asking hey and vav, but maybe I'm not. Yeah. How could it? Yeah. You're saying there's a maximum. There's a bigger distance. How could they agree that this is the? How could they say that this is the max flight when we have something more? Not chamishim amah. You're maleshigar hayona. Whatever the max flight is versus what's your question is, how do they understand the continuation of the Gemara?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, we'll get there. Okay. Okay. You were unmuted for all that. Everyone in the computer land understood, followed that. Hopefully, okay. Okay, fine. So fine. We're going to come to that right now. So what do we do now in source number 8? How do we balance these shiurim? Right? What do we do with the fact that maleshigar hayona, we're going to talk about, is either let's go with the max distance. What? Oh, okay. Let's go with the max distance of 273 amot, but that is nowhere near 8,000 amot. So how does this work together? So I think. So, and maybe this was your point, was that this works well with Ritva.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that's source number 8. I didn't even give you the Ritva again, because he doesn't say anything, because he doesn't need to say anything, because it already makes sense, according to the Ritva. There is no real problem here. According to the Chachamim, Chamishim is just about the eating, and the larger shear, Shloshim Reis, is the flight distance, and everything works totally fine. The problem is according to the Rashba. So here's what the Rashba says in source number 9. It says Kashali, Deafila Bashir Shita Mashma Depligi Matsnitina Ubraita. De Braita Katani Shloshim Reis. The Braita says they can fly a distance of Shloshim Reis. Dehainu Arbat Milin. Okay? Umatsnitin Katani Arbat Korin, Kamaleshigara Yona. Vakor Lohavi Mil. Vitsarichli Iun. It's a good question. Shanus was said, maybe I glossed over this, I don't understand. The Rashba says, yeah, I also don't understand. Okay. So what's, how do we rectify this? What's the max distance here? Is it Beit Arba Korin or is it Shloshim Reis? Rashi believes it as a Tzarichiyun. So again, this is another, the footnote. If we have to be careful, we say about these Masada Rav Kook footnotes, because the Masada Rav Kook footnote told me to look at the Tosfot Yom Tov. So, here's the Tosfot Yom Tov says. Source number 10. Maleshigar Hayona, Pirish Ravadya Bartanura, Merutzat prichatan bepam achat kepirish Rashi, that maleh shigar yona is the, you know, the distance it's going to fly in, like, you know, one, I don't know what, one, you know, flying session. V'katfu atosvot delo peligi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan b'shigar hayona kamahavi, and the Tosva writes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan all agree what the max distance of the birds are going to be, but what, how far they're going to fly. And the Rabbanan hold that they're not going to cause any more damage because they're going to be full after 50. And Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kamaleshigar Maski, they're going to go, no, the whole distance they're going to damage. He says the following. He says, Ve'ein Pricha Achat Kamishat Shaiti. The two different flights that we're talking about are qualitatively, I think, different types of flights. Dehainu, Beprichot harbe. So mishat shaiti is dehainu prichot harbe zechar zeh shehu ad shloshim reis. Ve'achar yanuchu o yeshuvu lachrem b'shovchehem. Yeah. So this is, I guess, I think he's saying that you have different types of flights. You have like the short, sort of like regular flight, and then you've got like the long haul trip. So when it comes to like the regular normal flight, that's something that's maleshigar yona. That's like the typical. But if they're ever doing like the long haul, then prichot harbe zeachar zeh, that'll go max up to shloshim reis. Then they'll stop there, and then eventually they'll turn around and go home. The Rashash in source number 11 says something very similar. Source number 11. Okay, Demodi Rabbanan debate Arbat Korin have Shigar Yona. Rabbanan agree that this is going to be the distance that the Shigar Yona is going to go. That this is the flight of the Yona. V'adamrin lekaman Misha Chaiti ad Shloshim Reis. So I end Tosfot Yom Tov. So look, Tosfot Yom Tov is going to addresses this. What you said, it's a difference in quality of flights. Sometimes they fly in short bursts. Sometimes they'll fly many short bursts, which will get up to Shloshim Reis. The Tosvot in Masechet Shabbat says this thing of the Yonah, specifically the Yonah, that it has this nature that when it's tired, so it can fly. I don't really know how this works. It flies with one wing. It works with one side and sort of rests the other side, and then that's how it can do it by alternating wings. Like Male Shigar Nikra Kozman Shiparachat B'Shtayim V'Beveit Kor. When it's flying full blast with both wings, it's using much more energy, and so it can only go a certain distance. That's Beit Kor. V'Achar Kach Nasi Yigio Parachat B'Achat. And then to get further, so that's when, you know, it uses the reserves and it alternates the wings that it's using, and that's the way it can get parachat be'achad v'shaita ad shloshim ris v'achar kach chozer et l'shovcha, and then it'll go home from there. But so again, I think he's saying basically the same idea that Tosfot Yom Tov had said, which is that the bird has this quality that it can do, that it can conserve energy in certain ways to allow it to fly further. I don't know. And I looked at Wikipedia bird flight. And so there is this thing called bounding flight that small birds do, that they, you know, flap really hard and then they sort of like glide a little bit. And then they're able to increase efficiency of muscle use and they can fly much further.
I don't remember exactly, but the Gemara, I think Shabbos, it talks about Elisha Bal Kanafai. One of the reasons kind of the Yonah has to do with one wing.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what the Rashash is quoting in source number 11. Yeah, 100%. What was I going to say? Oh, but it's interesting though, specifically about the point about Kanfei Yonah. Yonah is, initially when I read this Mishnah, I would have just assumed that Yonah is Lav Davka, but we're talking about any birds. I'm not sure if anyone else assumed that. I was assuming that it could be Lav Davka. I don't know. Rabbi Shachin was giving me a smirk. I don't know if that means he agreed or disagreed. I'm not sure. But you understand why I did that. Well, either way, according to the Rashash, we're talking Davka Yonim, because this is a feature specifically about how the Yonah flies. Yeah, Rabbi Yaris, disagree with me, please. Yes, yeah, Shovach is about Yonah, 100%. I'm just wondering if the Dinim, so don't say Shovach, say another thing that birdhouse, I don't know. But yes, for sure the Mishnah is talking about Yonim. I'm wondering, I was thinking that maybe you could extrapolate this to other birds and other types of things, but it might be that it's unique to Yonah.
I believe that Yonahs were raised not just for flying, they were raised for eating. That's what they ate. That's what the Kabbalists were. Yonahs were the Yonah. So there were no chickens. Chickens were scavengers, they were bums.
Okay, we should all be like Yonim and not like chickens. Okay, yeah, not
time. They're also raised for the dung, actually.
Yonim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, so next week we'll talk a little bit more about the gezel and also about how to use your dove to help grow your crops. Okay. Okay, good. So that's this hay versus vav piece. And that's how we understand what the max flight is. Are we talking about Beit Arba Korin, Shloshim Ris, different types of flights? That answers your question, Shanus? Perfect. Okay. So far, so good. Everyone, we're all within this flight pattern of the Yonah. Okay. So Zayin and Chet now. How we understand the two lines in the Resha and the Seifa. There's much discussion on this specific point, and I was nervous about getting too deeply into the weeds, so I didn't want to go directly into it. I'm realizing that maybe we have more time than I had anticipated, so maybe we can have a little more of a conversation about this exact point, because many of the Avreichim in the Beit Midrash really were engaged in this specific question mostly, and I only brought the Ritva, but we can, with your permission, we can really, like, we have time to really hash it out a little bit more. So it's an unnumbered source on the bottom of page 2, Chidushei HaRitva. So Mishat Shloshim Ritz V'Tulo. So Yesh Omrim de Al Tirutzo de Abaye Kashale. So there are those that say that this question is specifically, we're dealing specifically with what Abaye had said. We're focused on Abaye, in that if Abaye didn't exist, this whole conversation wouldn't be happening. says Yeshavim to Al Tirutza de Bayakashale, Vahi Kamar, Bishlama Lididi, Lokasha, Matnitin, Dehatam, Resha Asefa. You look at the Breita on the whole, you don't have a problem within the Breita. Duresha Katani, Elaim Kenarchik Mina Yeshiv Shloshim Ris, Bilvad, Kshotam Shloshim Ris, Hem Midbar. The Seifa, so the Resha of the Breita that had said the max, the shear you have to distance is Shloshim Ris, that was when you're just in the Midbar. Bilvad Kshotam Shloshim Ris, Hem Midbar. The Seifa, the Katani, be Yeshuv Sadot, Yeshlahem Malechol, Afilu Meyamil. Ulolam shiur shaitan kishiur achilatan umatznitin pliga. So I would read this and it'd say, look, be yishuv sadot. When there's the sadot, when there are other things around, there's other food sources around. So then it'll go a much. It'll eat the whole way along. They'll go shiesh lehem malechol afilu me'amil. It'll go even 100 mil. It'll keep on going, keep on eating. It doesn't have a bottomless pit in the stomach. It'll keep on going. And they're gonna fly the distance that they're gonna eat. They'll go even up to even 100 mil, and maybe even beyond that. But if you're gonna say that they're going to fly distances beyond, they're gonna stop eating at location at distance X and then keep on flying, mali midbar. Mali Yishuv. Then there's no difference between whether there's a midbar, whether there's nothing there, whether there's Yishuv there, because you're already acknowledging that it's going to fly beyond when it eats. Umadrin and the safe of Yishuv Kramim or Yishuv Shovachin, ki ayede ken, mit pashtim vishatin yoter. Idolam, kraseu bechamishin amhata malian. And then the Gemara explains, oh, so that's why we say there's Yishuv Kramim or Yishuv Shovachim. That's going to be the means that it's going to go, that's going to go all the way there. But you're right, it normally doesn't, he's saying, ki ayde ken mit pashtim vishatin yoter. Idolam, kraseu bechamishim amalian. Yeah, they're going to stop eating at 50 amah, they're going to be full. But because there's the reality of this Yishuv Kramim along the way, or the Yishuv Shovachin along the way, so then I don't need to be worried about it. They're going to keep on going. They'll keep on following. But all of this is a response to Abaye, right? That's this idea that Abaye had said, this idea of various distances that would fly. So, but if you're going to say that, then what do you do with the Seifa? That's the Ritva's first idea, and the Yesh Omrim that he's quoting here, I didn't note it here, but this was the Ramban, and the Ran had said that this was specifically a response to Abaye. The Yesh Omrim, the Ritva quotes, and the Yesh Omrim here is the Rashba. Delo de Abaye parchinan, ella de parchinan. Sorry, delo. I just lost where I was. Delo de Abaye parchinan. Ela de parchinan reisha asefa de breita kedei levarra v'zayoter nachon. He says, no, really, the breita was bothered internally. Meaning, it's not about Abaye; it's about the breita itself appearing to be internally inconsistent and trying to explain the internal inconsistency between shloshim ris and me'amil. And that's what this question is about. It's not about Abaye. It's about just making sure that we understand the way that the Rashba, the language of the Rashba, is used. He says it's there, kedei levarara. It's trying to just explain. Maybe people didn't understand, people didn't know the Breita well, and so the Rashba is saying that the Gemara here is just trying to explain what the Breita means, and so that's why it uses these differences there. But it has nothing to do with, even if without Abaye, this conversation is still a legitimate conversation because it's explaining the Breita. But according to the Ramban and the Ran, the first Yesh Omer that the Ritva quotes, that this Breita is specifically addressing Abaye's question, and if without Abaye's question, you don't have any of this, you don't have to have any of this conversation, because it's only about Abaye. Parenthetically, we saw... we'll say that. Okay. Is that clear? Right. We had seen the problem is that the problem is that the Breita, in reality, the Breita has actually, never mind. I'm not gonna go down that road. Okay, fine. So we Zayin and Chet, Afilu Shloshim Ris, and Afilu Me'amil. So we have, according to the Ritva, two different approaches. Either we have the Ramban, who says that all of this is merely a response to Abaye. And then we have what the Ritva prefers and the Rashba, which is that this is simply trying to explain how this Brita makes sense, and then we answer it with Rava and Rav Yosef. They're all trying to just make the Brita make sense on its own, as opposed to trying to defend whatever Abaye had said previously. And that's that. Okay, the last piece that I wanted to look at now is a little bit of halacha lemaisa about this. Yeah, Andrew. Yeah, I think so. I think so because. Yeah, I think the point is to clarify that it's either Yishuv Kramim or Shovachin. I think that's the point that the Ritva is trying to make and the Rashi is trying to make, that the way to understand this Brita is to understand there's Yishuv Kramim happening here or Yishuv Shovachin happening here specifically, and that's the way you understand this Brita. That's what the Brita is talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So yeah. It's more than just saying, "Oh, they didn't know about it." It's actually a significant view.
Yeah. It's trying to explain it. Yes. Yeah. Levarara, like to really explain this because they didn't. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So in source number 12, onto the top of page 3. So the question is, so what do we do with this halacha lemaisa? So the Ritva has this line here. Vahagirihu, source number 12. The Tolda Deshen, Mamash. Modaba Rabbi Yossi. This, you know, we talk all the time. We talk past the Rabbi Yossi, Giri Delay. We had this whole thing before. Talked a lot about it. So the Ritva is putting this well in the camp and saying that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi. We're dealing with Giri Delay. We're talking about Shen Mamish even. This is like real Nezek, Giri Delay. And Rabbi Yossi agrees with it. And so this would be Halach Lamaisa required. The Meiri in source number 13 has a worthwhile spin on this. Source number 13. Ze Biur HaMishnah, the Kula Al Tzad Shebi Arnuha, Halacha Hu, Right? This past week, when we're learning these halachas, we're learning Rambam. This Rambam doesn't live in any shchinim. This Rambam lives in Hilchot Gezela Ve'aveda. So it's notable that even though it's in Lo Yachpor, it's not situated with the rest of Lo Yachpor. And so the Meiri observes that. It includes it in the conversation. This is all in a conversation of Gezela Ha'asura Midivrei Sofim. And that's significant. Let's say you violated this. Let's say you did put your shovach within 50 amot, v'hizik, and you caused damage here. Patur mi l'shalem. You don't have to pay. Why don't you have to pay? Rambam says, source number 14, and this is the same perek. This Rambam discusses the shovach. You have to market your shovach 50 amot, and then because you're concerned about gezel mit divrei sofrim, and then source number 14, we have kol mi sheyesh biyado gezel shel divreihem eino yotze miyado b'dayinim v'chen im kafar bo v'nishpa eino mosif chomesh k'mo shemosif ala gezel gamor. So if that's the case, then if you're the one who gets damaged because your neighbor put up his shovach within 50 amot, you get damaged. So since this is situated within Gzela Ve'aveda, and the rules for Gzela Ve'aveda is that Enu Yotze Biyado B'dayanim, so you're up the creek without a paddle now. You lost property here. It's Rambam would call that Gezel Midrabanan. That's very unfortunate, but it's really unfortunate that you got stuck here, but you can't. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. So what's the nafgamina of?
Why were they?
Sorry.
What's the shakas here being? It goes around. This is gets on the debris. If this doesn't cause anything, if you can't get money taken from you in basin for doing this.
Right, if you can't get, you say why call it gzela if I can't do anything about it?
Yeah.
because it prevents the other person from doing it. He's still over Gzela Midirabanan if he sets up shop here. No? I mean,
can he get Makas Meritus?
I don't know. Yeah, ah, good point. I think we had Shir on this.
Yes. Yeah.
And is Dinah Shemaim room that exists before the Zera?
Well, that's part of the general question, which is, if you do Gezel Derabbanan, are you doing Gezel or are you doing Osasur?
Either way, I'll still say, you still shouldn't do it. It's Gezel. But the problem is, yeah, if he did it, so I'm rats. What did the Gezerah do?
Yeah, it's still a negative action to steal someone's yonim or to have your yonim going into others' property and eating their seeds. So what did the Gezerah do?
I don't know that we would know that it's... I would say... I mean, there are two... We're not going to talk about this today. I think we'll barely talk about it next week. But, I mean, you have two different things. Number one, you could make the claim that these aren't my yonim. They're just... I have a shovach here, and they're yonim here, and they're shovach, and like... I could claim that they're not. I could claim they're not mine. Like that's part of the gezeira here is that I have halachic ownership of them midirabanan. That I can't. I don't want to say weasel out of it, but I can't sort of claim. Well, they're not my own. They're just in my shovachim, which technically speaking is true because they're wild animals. But since they're hanging out in my shovachim, we say Jared, they're yours, and now they're yours, and so you have to prevent them from causing damage. Meaning, I think before that, that's part of this gezeira, is the treatment of the yonim being attributed to me. And me being responsible for them. But it stops short of saying that you can now force me to pay you back for the damages because it's gizela midirabanan. But I still can't do it. As Rav Yehuda pointed out, it's patra avalaser. Yeah. Sorry, not then. Were you going
to
ask something?
I was thinking that with the gizela midirabanan, it doesn't sound like you have to pay back midirabanan, it's just that midirabanan
can't. Eno yotzi miyado, v'dayini. Yeah, and I mean, I'm no dying, but I mean, I think there's all different types of situations. If he went and grabbed it anyway, could you? Yeah, yeah. So I mean, So I mean, I think there's what to talk about within all of this world. But yeah, for sure. Okay. That being said, the Ketorah Choshen in source number 15. He's not so sure with all of this. He says, "Im lo hirchi kashovach mina ir va'alchu v'hiziku, taliv machloket shebeseif lamed gimel, tiladat harayved huvabetur seif nun tet, to kol hina charchakot, im lo hirchiku v'hiziku depatur mil shalem, im ken." So if they went according to the Ravid, if they went, you kol hina charchakot. If you didn't, you weren't marchik and they caused damage, you're patur from paying back. Im ken yonei shovach nami p'turin ledat haramban. Lo chayev behu mishum shen kevan de eno kinyan Torah ela mipnei darchei shalom. Right, that's what I was saying. That it's not mina. I mean, a Torah. They're not. It's we. What's that? Oh, okay. It's only on me because of mipnei darchei shalom. Uldat harash bechol hina charchakot chayev leshalem mishum giri delay. These are all giri delay. Imken yonei shovach to have a nami giri delay chayev leshalem. You're going to have to pay it back. Da'afagav de lo kani lehu. Even though it's not, maybe we won't say that it's necessarily on a Torah level mine, these birds, because they're wild animals, they're just flying around, they're my shovachs. Still, it's like putting someone else's animal on someone's property. On produce. Even if it's not my animal, but I think what the Ketorah Choshen is saying, actually, it depends on how you look at this. If you go strictly in the world of giri delay, then this is giri delay chayav l'shalem. If you're going to say that there's, but you could, this is machloket ravid and the rush is how we look at all these halachot, and then by what that means about hilchot shchenim about. Yone Shovach, that if you're going to go like the Ravid, he thinks you're going to be putter according to the Ramban. They're not really yours. Even the Darchei Shalom, it's only Divrehem, mi Divrehem. like Rambam had said, I think, like source number 14. But if you go like the Rush, then we're not thinking about that. We're saying, look, this is Giri Dilei, Chayav L'Shalem, and he's not factoring in, I think, this Gezel Midirabanan, according to the Rush. So the Ketzorah Choshen just pointing out that there are two different ways. Whether you can actually take it back, Chayav L'Shalem, is subject to this Machluk Rishonim. The Ketzorah points that out. A last point to close on is source number 16. I've gotten really into Chashukei Chamed. So Zilberstein asks the following question, based on this Mishnah. Okay, bottom line. Ha'im mutar le'akim kikar merkazi be'ir uvo alfei yonim. V'kach limshoch tayarim. Okay, can I set up in the city center of, what's the word for a bird area? Like an aviary, right? But it's an open air aviary. Right? Can I set this up? So tshuva. And the goal here is to attract tourists. Tshuva. Rashi had said, and this is what we're talking about before, Rav Yehuda, just going back to what you said before, Rashi had pinned the nezek that's happening is specifically about consumption of food. According to this, mutar lekarev shovach la'ir, mikivan she'ein ba'arim hamiyushavot zarone ginot. So nowadays, this doesn't happen. We don't have seeds sitting around. If the whole nezek that we're only concerned about is the nezek of the bird consuming the foods, that's not going to happen in this world nowadays. So you don't have to worry about it. Mitam zeh, b'yameinu mutar lekarev shovach la'ir, mikvan she'ein ba'arim hamiyushavot zarone ginot. V'gam lo shotchim hagagot. V'kein hamivuar b'shulchan aruch, and we see this happen in the Shulchan Aruch, that when the reality changes, the halacha changes. Ein megadlin behemah daka b'eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed, the Shulchan Aruch rules, you're not allowed to raise behemah daka b'eretz Yisrael. But they should darkam lirot besedot shal acherim. Vehezikam matzui. That you're not allowed to raise these small animals because they'll wander into other people's fields and they'll cause damage there. Val megadlin besuriyev midot shal b'eretz Yisrael. But you can do it in Surah and Eretz Yisrael. Ve'aitna, nowadays, she'ein matsui, she'yu Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael sadot. Nowadays, since you don't really have these sadot anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch rules, near it to Shari, Yoyansham. So you can see there, so again, the Shulchan Aruch says, this type of thing, we're talking about Nezek, you can't do X because it's going to eat other people's property. Shulchan Aruch says, that's situated in a specific place and time. And if the reality is that that's not going to happen, you don't have to worry about it. So that's what Shulchan Aruch says over there. So Zilberstein saying maybe it's the same thing over here. And I didn't look at this Chazanish inside actually, but I think the Shulchan Aruch's point is that if you have the sadot, don't have any. There's nothing there. I mean, they're not going to cause any damage to any of these sadot, so you don't have to worry about damage they're going to cause because there's nothing there to damage. Chazanish says, ain israel livnot sham shovach, because again, the whole purpose of the shovach is because the damage can be caused. At this point, we're assuming, like Rashi says, because of consumption of the food. If there's no food to be consumed, it's not a problem. Ulam, mistaber, shagam b'yameinu asur lagadol yonim b'ir misiba acher. He says, but still, there would be another reason you can't do this. And this is what I'm saying, going back to what Rav Yehuda said before. Dekevan shehem melach lechim et hakevisa hatuliyah b'chutz, v'gam ma'virim kinim. Right? Just because they're not eating food doesn't mean they don't still cause damage. They make everything dirty. They're going to spread disease. I mean, we saw the korkor stays earlier. I mean, we spent time last week talking about what exactly the problem was. But even if they're not eating anything, just the presence of these birds around here can be a nuisance. It could be a problem. So, and that's what we had said before. What damage? Maybe they're going to continue eating beyond 50 amot, or maybe the thought here is that they'll stop eating. But just because they stop eating doesn't mean they're not going to cause problems and cause damages. And so he says, "Gami v'imken." Lo gara mishara hadvarim mazikim letzibur, she'asur la'asot b'li reshut me'atzibur. So he says, and bottom line, I think at this point, he's saying, look, there's every right for someone to say, no, this is not okay. Even though if they're not going to cause damage by eating, eating is not the only type of damage that could happen. These birds can cause damage in all sorts of different ways. And so you can't necessarily put the shovach in the middle of the city. Ella, he says, shitachen she'im ayedei ze yarvichu atoshavim. But, I mean, of course, this is up to the community to make the decision. If the community says that if they set up this aviary. What's an apiary? Bees. Okay, aviary. Thank you, okay. if they set up this aviary in the middle of the city, yervichu atoshavim, they want it. This is going to attract visitors. It's going to attract things. Kemo ba'arim misuyemot ba'olam. There are, I guess, famous cities where they have birds flying all around them. Shalyadeze imshach l'sham tayrim. People are going to be, tourists are going to be drawn to the city. V'rabim miparnasim sham minachirat zir onim la'achalat yonim. And people are selling the seeds. They're going in there. Like, this could be a whole business. There could be something here. So if the community wants it, l'ay rishayim zayin tovei ha'ir la'atir zot. So presumably he thinks maybe the leaders of the community can say, look, this is something that we want, this is something for the betterment of the community, and so we're going to allow this, even though there might be some nezek, but they're going to say there's a net gain. This probably ties into sharing that we've had earlier about, you know, how many people does it take, how many people, if it's Zayin Tovei Ha'ir, the leaders of the city say we want to do this, but one person says, I don't want bird poop on my clothes that are drying outside, I guess Ayen earlier Shirim, when we talk about the weighing of different opinions, that when you have a group of people that say that it's okay, but you have one person who's saying, no, I'm not okay with it. Rav Zilberstein says that in the end, there's room to say that it's okay if the community decides to, but it's worthwhile pointing out that the nezek here, the nezek that the Gemara was assuming was going to be the birds eating produce and things. But even if we're living in a world where there's no produce, still, Rizobrinshi says, though, but there's other type of nezek that could come up, and so that's not just a free-for-all, that since the nezek is not going to be food, it's totally fine. No, there's other nezek that could come from these birds, and so you would still, in theory, if you're not building in a city like this, it's just, I want to set up a shovach in my yard in 2022, in North York, so I would still say, look, even if it's not going to be eating any of the foods because no one has seeds outside their houses, but there's other nezek that my birds would cause, and so the dinim of the Mishnah would still apply. And so that's halacha, I think, because it's giri delay, as we saw from the Ritva, and then I guess it's an open question in the Ketzot HaChoshen whether or not, if I did cause damage, I would have to whether you could extract money from me in Beit Din to pay you back. But that's just a little bit of our Talmudic ornithology. So we've seen, just to, in the 3 remaining minutes, just to go over everything that we saw before, flipping back to page 1. So we have 4 different topics. We had this apparent unnecessary repetition in the 2 lines of the Mishnah, and seeing what they're actually both necessary because they're talking about different things. Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda, what the nature of their machloket is. The Mishnah versus the Braita, how we understand if the max flight is Beit Arba Korin, so then how can the Braita then say, oh, the max flight is even larger than that? And then how we understand what the Braita, the 2 Shirim and the Braita, whether they're just responding to Abaye, or whether the Gemara is actually trying to explain what the Braita means, and the reality, what circumstances Shloshim Rises, what circumstances Mea Mil, and it's trying to explain how that Braita works. And then at the very end, just Halach Lamaisa, it seems that everyone, I haven't seen anyone who says it's not giri delay. You would be chayav to be marchik. But it seems to be an open question whether, if you did cause the damage, whether you could force the person who caused the damage to pay you back. And then Rav Zilberstein, the nezek that happens nowadays is still nezek, even if it's not animals eating, the birds eating the produce.